This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Take Command podcast. Logan Paulson's on vacation in London. I'm Craig Hoffman. And, you know, we did a bunch of audience research not that long ago. And we were asking folks, amongst other questions, who are some of your favorite guests that we have on? Who are the people that you like seeing crossover episodes with? And nobody got more positive feedback amongst our audience than John Keim, which is why I'm pleased to welcome in this morning, in for Logan, JP Finley, everybody. Hey! No, nothing, John Keim? I don't get even a quasi-chuckle for that joke?
No, well, I will say I appreciate my kids and my wife voting in your poll.
Very good. Very good. Your joke's better than mine. John Keim is here, everybody, as promised. He's going to do a mailbag with us today. So very excited to answer your questions with John. Of course, ESPN.com, longtime Washington football reporter. And he's got his podcast, The John Keim Report, which is the either first or second. We might be the second favorite, John, amongst many of our listeners. And yours is first, if not top two with our show. So make sure you're checking out the John Keim Report from Empire Media, wherever you get your podcast. They're on YouTube and, of course, all the audio apps. And then don't forget, on Thursday, Logan will still be out, but we're going to do good feedback on a guest, John. Jeremy Green. Did you listen to the Jeremy Green episode?
I haven't had a chance. No. I know you. Yeah, I know you've been raving about
you,
it.
You definitely got to check that out. And Jeremy's going to rejoin us on Thursday for a mock draft. Dude is hilarious. If you want just like, guy raised in Asheville, North Carolina, who's got a stand-up comedy background and grinds more tape than literally anybody else doing this. He's got 500-plus prospects on his board. Yeah, that's what we want, and that's what we're going to get on Thursday. So excited for that. Yeah, funny, entertaining, very, very knowledgeable. Speaking of knowledgeable, let's tap into John's knowledge here. On one of the news items from last week, there hasn't been a lot of news lately, which is kind of nice. A little bit of a reprieve, more so for John than for us. We still got to do the show no matter what. John could be like, oh, I don't have to write 78 news stories. Excellent.
It's been, I will say, boredom can be good.
You deserve a little boredom after the last, you know, 2-3 years that we've had here.
I think you can go back further than that.
Yeah, well, that's true too, but especially the last couple. Yeah. There's been no off season between the sale and all the other stuff that's been happening. So this one from Joshua though on Josh Johnson coming in, which was came out of nowhere last week. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, they signed Josh Johnson. What a blast from the past that is! I was still on the beat the first time he was here, but they signed Josh Johnson as a veteran backup quarterback. Obviously, Marcus will be QB2. Is Driscoll still on the roster? Yeah.
No. Or is he, Driscoll is a guy that they would like to have brought back, and he did a nice job for them, had a really good camp. I think he, you know, and he's still on time, but he wants to go somewhere where he can compete possibly for the number two position, and he wasn't going to do that here.
Gotcha. Okay, so Driscoll's out, so they need a QB3. They bring in Josh Johnson. And the question is, can or how does signing of experienced vet QB3 like Josh Johnson have a positive influence on developing young slash back of the roster receivers? If so, how? Thanks. Love the show. So obviously, I think we can talk too about what impact it could have on Jaden. We saw last year how much Marcus had an impact on Jaden. But I think the receiver part of this is very interesting as well, John.
Yeah, and I hadn't looked at it from that perspective because you do, you know, in practice, you want to, I mean, if you want to help develop, you've got to have a good quarterback throwing to them so they know, they get a picture of the routes, et cetera. And even into preseason games, right? Like that's where you're going to see it as much as anything, because now you're getting a chance to be productive with them. And Driscoll did a nice job for them last year. Like, I think there's it's also Craig running scout team, giving a look to the defense. That's where you're going to see that as well. So I think it can have an impact there. I also think there's an impact. Listen, Mariota's had a very positive impact on Jaden. Like that's part of the reason why they wanted to bring him back, because he was so good with him. So Johnson can also add to that. I think you don't stick around in the NFL as long as he has if you're not a complete pro. We know that. To come back, he's brought back to organizations. Now, I know it's different than it was before, but
That was something crazy when he signed last week. I went up, I think CBS Sports had a graphic on Instagram of all the teams he's been to. It's not just that he's been on, I think, 14 teams now. I think he's been on 7 of them twice or 3 times. Organizations love to have this guy in the building.
Yeah, because and so that suggests the preparation and the knowledge and just good in the locker room. But I also think it can be good for a guy like Sam Hartman. So, you know, just another guy to bounce things off of, right? And I think Driscoll could have been that. But I think Johnson, with that experience, that the professional approach, I think definitely can help. Now, still got to make the roster. But from here to the end of August, yes, he can help. I don't want to overstate it. But I think the more guys you bring in like that, the better off your organization is. It's just, there's a depth of professionalism, a depth of leadership that matters.
No doubt about it. And I think there's nuance that he can bring in, especially you talk about the receivers. I think that's such an interesting angle to ask it from, for a guy that's played with so many guys. And I played with X receiver, and I'm going to say X receiver, insert receiver name here, not specifically an X or a Z or a whatever. I played with this receiver and he liked this route this way. Maybe you should try it. You remind me of him. Like there's these little nuances of route running that Logan and I talk about, and Logan more so because he ran routes in the NFL. But you know, that we talk about all the time of footwork or angles or where your eyes should go so you can read the coverage, because sometimes a route bends versus a different coverage. So there's all these little things that just, if you've been around more guys, and this dude's been around 1,000, you know, players in his career, then it's just invaluable to have that kind of knowledge in the building and to have someone who, you know, you can go ask a question. And I think, too, specifically as a QB3, like, of course, if you're going to wind up playing with Jaden, you and Jaden need to be on the same page. But a guy like QB3, like, his job is as much to prepare the team as it is to prepare himself. He's got to be ready to play, worst case scenario. But in many ways, Josh Johnson's job, if he makes this roster, is going to be to go to the Luke McCaffreys or the, you know, some of these younger guys, you know, whoever they wind up drafting, and say, hey, what can I do to help you be ready? And then, of course, on defense, same thing. Hey, what can I do to help you guys be ready as the scout team quarterback, as someone who, by the way, also has a great insight on how many different coaches around the league from a game plan standpoint. So there's just a lot of stuff with someone with that much experience brings to the building.
And I also think, going back to your point, it's you know, sometimes the details around, I don't know, like, how detailed he's going to be on certain things, because it's a little bit different. But to your point, like, I think it's also the pacing of a route too. And so on this route, you know, what I found has worked well with other guys is you kind of delay just a little bit more on this to create this opening. And I think for scout team, for example, I like this question, because I hadn't thought of it to this depth as well. Like when they signed him, like I knew the professional approach, all that, but to this depth. But, and again, I don't want to go overboard on it, But like, if you're running scout, you know, you're running scout team against what offense, and maybe he sees something in what the way the cornerback reacts. I'm like, hey, listen, if this were a game, I would have done this because you did this. And he has that knowledge of like, what my experience tells me, like, you're doing this, like, I'm automatically going to go over here. Now in this drill, I'm staying here. But, or he might say, you know, because sometimes they will do that, right? You're going to look. Now, Jeremy Reeves would have these discussions with Jaden, had this discussion with Jeremy Reeves last year. He's like, hey, listen, why did you react this way? He goes, because you did this. So, right. Like, if he's got a ball and the corner starts to break a certain way, maybe he can just, boom, he's going to change it. It's like, you know, that may not be what they're expecting, but like, why did you do that? Because you did this. So he's got that knowledge and experience that, again, we don't, not overstating it, but little things like that can also help. And like, whether he makes the roster or not, if he does some of that stuff in training camp, it could have an impact on a guy in week 7. You know what I mean?
And totally.
So, but yeah, I think to the point, like all those offenses he's played in, he's going to have knowledge of how they want to attack. And not that they're all still the same as when they would play it, but like it definitely, there's only so many offenses you can play in the NFL. And I think it's for the players, right? It's the coaches are going to know what they know, and he can help a little bit certainly with that, but it's really for the teammates because these guys listen to guys like that. And
yeah, we also know though that like Cliff will take ideas from anywhere.
Oh, for
and
sure.
So they get into a rut and they're like, hey, Josh, what's your favorite play for this? He's going to have one.
Yeah.
And they're not afraid to add that to their offense.
And you know, it's funny is before the draft last year, I remember talking to Jay Gruden about like what he liked about Jaden Daniels. And he kind of like, he's got, you know, some processing like Teddy Bridgewater, but he's got Josh Johnson's legs. And, you know, it's funny because that combination, I think some people poo-pooed that, but like Josh has that ability. That's why when they signed him the first time, Jay actually wanted him instead of Sanchez right away because he knew that he could come in and make plays right away because of legs. And he meant all that stuff as a compliment for Jay and that he can hang in the pocket, make plays in the pocket, but he also has this ability like this guy that I've coached, right? So, and I, you know, you put those two together, it's a pretty darn good quarterback. And I think Jaden's even way better than that. So, but the point is like going back to that point, I also, the last thing I would say on this too, is it's also the way guys prepare. Like if he can go to a young guy and say, listen, you remind me of so-and-so, this is how he got better. You know, maybe it's like, it's the way you prepare going into practice. Now, if you're a receiver, you should be following like, hey, this is what Terry does in the offseason. Do that because it's worked for him. You know, watch those guys. Like if you're a tight end, watch Zach Ertz and how he prepares, not just in the locker room, whatever, on the field during the special teams drills. What is he working on? That's what I should do. So you can get that, but it's also good to have another voice that can echo some of those thoughts.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
No doubt. All right, next question on one of those young receivers comes from Alex Wicks on Instagram. Alex asks, is the team expecting Luke McCaffrey to take a big step this year or just depth? And I think it's an interesting phrasing of the question, John, because it almost is like, do they expect him to start this year or is he a depth piece? Is kind of how I'm reading that. But I think that he could take a big step and also provide depth. But I guess I'll flatten out the question to you. What are the realistic expectations for Luke McCaffrey in year two?
Well, I think one of the clues to me, Craig, is just how his playing time diminished in the second half of the year. It went down. So that to me, you know, you go by that, right? Like, this is how he progressed. Like, as early in the year, I kind of felt, you know, and I think I know others felt, that there were times where, like, oh, he's capable of a big game because he seems like he's getting open, all that. And that didn't happen. So I don't know really what they're expecting him from him in year two. I'm just going by the playtime diminished down the stretch. Like, you know, not like from 30 plays to zero, but it certainly went decreased, just like Benson, it decreased. And I think you can, you know, I would say sometimes I put he and Sinnott in the same boat. Sometimes it takes a few years for them to get that. And I think that's, I don't know about you, but that's kind of how I view McCaffrey. Like, it's going to take him maybe a couple years to kind of get that footing in there. He was new. He switched to the position in college. Yep. It does take a minute. I think he has some strengths as a receiver. There are times where he can use his size. He's got good size for it playing inside. And you saw that in the preseason at times. But then you look at, like, okay, they're bringing in, they re-sign Osborne. You know, there's a lot of depth there. So I would look at him as more right now as a depth piece. But I think it's hard because just again with Sinnott, like, you want, how do they progress this summer? And that to me will tell more if how they're viewed. But I know that Quinn will talk about those guys. There are some guys year one to year two that are taking a big jump. You know, I look more at, like, guys like Jordan McGee, if he gets that play time, because he's playing behind Bobby Wagner. So if he gets that, you know, guys like that, I mean, I think Johnny Newton can take a jump, even though he played. So, you know, I think there's some of that. I don't know that McCaffrey's in that same boat yet. But I think there are definitely sometimes guys, like, the hard part is he was a higher round draft pick. Like, you need him to produce more. But I still, you know, I think depth, special teams, that's how I would view him.
I would say they have set themselves up that if he is still more depthy, they're okay. They obviously bring in Debo. They bring back Noah Brown. They bring back, I mean, Osborne barely played last year, but, you know, with his summer, can he acclimate and has proven that he can play at the NFL level with the one or a couple pretty good years he had in Minnesota earlier in his career. So there are some options there, and they obviously could look at receiver in the draft. I think the thing with Luke is, first, more generally on kind of the role is, their expectation of him, I feel very confident in saying this, John, without having talked to a single person, they expect him to compete because that's how they roll. DQs. That's how we get down. is what DQ would say, right? Yeah. So they expect him to come in and compete. And if he is better than Noah Brown and better than KJ Osborne and better than whoever else he's competing with outside of Terry and Debo, then he's going to be the third guy. He can play inside. He can play outside. Like, he's a smart, smart player. But he lacks the nuance of the position because he's still new to the position. And I think, unlike a guy like Sinnott, I think they knew that coming in. I think Sinnott and McCaffrey are in the same bucket, but they weren't expected to be in the same bucket. And that says more about Sinnott than it does about McCaffrey. I mean, Luke was a third round pick, but he's the last pick in the third round, second to last, whatever it was, pick 100. So he's basically a fourth round pick. And if he's a fourth round pick, how differently do you feel versus a third?
And I
think from that standpoint for Luke, he's the expectation for him is to compete, to get better, to continue learning the position. And if he comes out and is a pretty effective player this year in a depth role and a starter in year three, that's a pretty, like, I don't know if it's a home run third round pick. I mean, Terry, you can't say he's a home run and then, like, what is Terry McLaurin? But it's a double. You're safely and securely on base if you get a starter by year three out of a third rounder, especially a late third rounder. So that's kind of where I see Luke is, like, he showed some promise last year. I think the kick return piece is interesting. I'm kind of surprised they didn't use him a little bit more as a screen runner because he showed some promise there. And obviously, Debo's going to get the majority of those types of opportunities this year. But Diami also emerged last year as excellent in that role. And so those tended to go that direction. But it does feel like if he can figure out how to use his size a little bit more, maintain or and even grow in the physicality realm where you can trust him more in the run game, that he can have a role in this offense. And that by the same token, he's going to have to compete for it because that's just how this team is. They're not going to give him anything because that's not how they believe in doing business.
No, it's not. And I think, but that's why I say, like, it's okay if he's a depth piece because you need that. And, you know, especially this year, I think it'd be nice for them to add a young receiver who is capable of being more than just a depth piece, like a guy that could elevate to the number two role opposite McLaurin and be a consistent threat in that role. I don't know that they necessarily have, well, they don't have that young guy in that role at this point. But if you, like you said, I mean, where he was drafted, if he elevates to being a consistent performer, provides depth, can help on special teams, that's what you need. Like if you in a draft produce, this is like way back when, it's like I talked to GMs about this, like 2 to 3 starters and 2 to 3 guys who contribute to winning, not just contribute, but contribute to winning.
Yeah.
Well, last year's draft definitely has that. And if he contributes to winning, then that's a good thing. But you still want to see him be more productive. There were flashes last year, especially early on, where like he was getting open when Jaden would scramble and wasn't always seeing him, but he was getting open in those spots. Like, okay, he made some tough catches. He had a couple of tough grabs over the middle that were really nice. So you saw that stuff. But like little things like the nuances of route running is like it can be the way you tilt your head. How you keep your head when you're approaching, like where you're, you know, again, like how you're stemming, how you're selling the fake to create those little openings that veteran receivers can do. And that can take a minute to learn, especially like if you're in college doing that, when you switch, like you're not going to have that stuff down. And because you're just not, you're in college, you can get by on athleticism and creating that because the corners just aren't that as good consistently. In the NFL, you need to have more. And can he elevate in that area to become more? Can he become productive? I think he can. But to what level? I think there's a wait and see. But if he is a good depth piece, I don't think that's a problem.
No, and I think the other last thing about Luke is like you trust the person. You trust the work ethic. Yeah. He's going to work really hard. He's a good athlete. So there's a lot to like there for him in terms of moving forward in this role.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.